Did Battle for Azeroth recapture the old WoW? And more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I am your host, Taylor Merrick, and this is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. If you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the show. We'd love to hear your input. If you're listening to the podcast, welcome. But you're a day late and a dollar short, you really should be joining us during our live show over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. If you're watching the live show, hey, be sure to support the stream and click that follow button. We are also on Twitter @technewsgadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions both during or after the show. Did I miss anything, Octavius? Oh, he's currently mad right now because I gave him one job earlier to do today, and he failed quite miserably at that. You keep this attitude up, Octavius, and you're sitting in timeout for the rest of the show. For those of you who don't know, Octavius is my pet octopus. When he's happy, he's blue, and when he's mad, he's purple. Don't judge, okay? Seriously, you'll make him even worse, and then I will have to put him in his timeout. But I did forget to say that if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/technewsgadget. Insiders, as we like to call our patrons, get exclusive access to our entire video archive of past shows, an exclusive insiders-only podcast, as well as an Octavius plush. Hey, Trudino, thanks for the host and the follow. More details can be found at patreon.com/technewsgadget. Wow, we are just going on with the noises today. All right. So, let's move on to this day in tech history. Today is August 15th, 2018. On this day in history, in 1998, after 3 months of anticipation, the original iMac G3 goes on sale. The Blondie Blue iMac became well known for its colorful case, which bucked the industry norm beige. However, it is also known for being the first commercially successful computer to eliminate the use of legacy ports and the floppy drive. Mr. Dino is currently loving Cuphead. That's great. I've heard people who enjoy that game very much, and people who snap controllers and keyboards in half. Anyways. Widely criticized at the time for not including the older technologies, by only featuring USB ports for peripheral connectivity, the iMac helped popularize the emerging standard even on Windows PC. And when was the last time anyone saw a beige PC? Also, on this day in tech history, well, that's it. That's it. They didn't give me any more tech history things to go back on. Here, let me refresh the page. And I'm fairly certain they didn't. Oh! Okay, it did work. I just needed to refresh the page. In 1994, Microsoft programmer Benjamin Slivka sent an email to his team suggesting they make a web browser for Windows 95. Did you know that the average office worker receives 121 emails per day? The least effective day to send an email is Friday. And in 1956, 5 megabytes of data weighed 1 ton. Also, did you know that Facebook pays hackers to hack Facebook? Yes, I know it's a small world, but you know, when you want to make sure that you have everything working, you pay people to break your stuff. That's actually, ironically, how I learned how to code my first website. I went to the library, grabbed a bunch of books, figured out HTML, JavaScript, all that fun stuff, and then I started to make a website on my own computer locally, broke it a number of times, almost went bald, but thankfully I didn't, I figured it out, and now here we are today, through none of my own efforts. So, that covers all the fun stuff. How about let's head on over into the news for today. First up is Apple offers a rare look inside its Mesa, Arizona data center. Looks interesting. Apple doesn't allow people often to visit its data centers, which are located across the country, but the Arizona Republic was recently given a tour of their data center, and the facility itself spans 1.3 million square feet with long, sparse hallways equipped with servers. Apple calls the Mesa site its Global Data Command Center, which employs a handful of employees working in 10-hour shifts to oversee Apple's operations. 150 employees total are employed at the center. Obviously, they couldn't go on in too much more detail. There was a lot of security things they wanted to keep under wraps. They had to be vague about a whole lot of things for obvious reasons. But still, I mean, who doesn't love looking at racks upon racks of servers and machinery and gadgetry and an air-conditioned building? Oh, man, just looks awesome. Hey, if you want to see the whole tour, I do have a link to this out at the show notes, which can be found at technewsgadget.net, show notes for today's show. This is a photo right here of the water cooling system for the Mesa, Arizona data center. That's not fooling around there. So let's take a quick look, shall we? I mean, why not? Hey, no, I don't want. No, who cares? Ad block on my rear end. Photos, just rows upon rows of ads and computers and colored wires and lights and power. And random dude. Okay, that kind of wasn't important, but anyways, color coded everything. Nice. So, that's one article under wraps. Moving on to the next article, Microsoft launches your phone, letting Android users connect to Windows 10 PCs. Yes, once you've installed this from the Microsoft Store on your Windows 10 computer, along with a counterpart available on the Google Play Store, you can log into your Microsoft account to connect your devices and start transferring pictures, along with other data. Apparently, you can, what I've heard, drag and drop photos from your phone onto your computer. We are just moving that much further into Star Trek and futuristic tech, where you literally just walk around with this tiny little film screen, and then you just go, hey, I'm going to take it, I'm going to slap it on this screen, and there you go. Pretty, pretty cool. But obviously, we're not at that stage just yet. Still working out all the kinks, but more features will be added along with the next major Windows 10 update, bringing the operating system more in line with Mac OS, which has allowed easy transfer files from iPhones for years. So it looks like in some regard, Microsoft is finally catching up. Now you guys don't want to stay behind too long. Looking at the drop frame rates, I'm still doing okay. So you are doing your job, Octavius. Thank you. No, I'm not saying I'm sorry. It was your fault. You were supposed to fix it to begin with. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Moving on. The Samsung Note 9 come out. This is the first look. Article over at Gizmodo.com. And Sam Rutherford, who wrote the article, said that you can really feel the $1,000 price tag. And he said, since the beginning, the big honking screens on Galaxy Note phones have been their most memorable characteristic. But as the rest of the smartphone world caught on to the jumbo display trend and screen sizes from various makers started to converge around 6-inch displays, the throne on which Samsung Note phones lorded over lesser devices just didn't have the same kind of sway. So now the question is, what's the purpose of this phone? Answer, well, give you everything. It's as if the Note 9, they decided to take on the ridiculous excess of a stretched Ferrari limo, added back in the performance that Prancing Horse logo is supposed to deliver, and then went over everything with the kind of attention normally reserved for overly tweezed Michelin star meals. So instead of getting what would otherwise be an S9 Plus, the Note 9 represents a top-to-bottom improvement on how much you can cram in a phone and just what it can do. The Note 9 now sports a 6.4-inch display, which is 0.2 inches larger than the S9 Plus. That manages to look even more vibrant and colorful than any other phone screen on the market. Meanwhile, on the inside, Samsung provides 6 gigabytes of RAM, and 128 gigabytes of storage standard, with the option of upgrading to an even higher spec model with 8 gigs of RAM and 512 gigabytes of storage for around $1,200, depending on where you buy it. Means better multitasking due to less closing of background apps and the freedom to download and install whatever you want without fear of running out of room. Add in a micro SD card slot that can handle another 512 gigabytes or more, and you're looking at a phone that can hold north of a 1 terabyte hard drive, in a sense. Yes, this is way more than anyone actually needs, but hey, when you're paying for this much, no reason to skimp. Just look at the photos of that. You guys are listening to the audio version of this podcast, you're totally missing out. We're actually looking at the photos right now. Join us, mixer.com/technewsgadget. Bring your grandma, bring your mom, bring your dad, bring your dog, have them all look at this. Cool. And then it goes on to explain more about the Snapdragon 845 processor, running more freely, getting higher scores, and it can also sustain performance for longer periods of time. So he being the author, took it out for a test run, playing a couple rounds of Fortnite and downloading a few torrents all back to back. Basically anything he could do to stress out the phone and really turn up the heat. Then he ran the bench, well, the test one more time to see just how much the performance had been impacted. And it fell a bit to, it fell 10%, while the Galaxy 9 Plus stuttered significantly more, with its score falling over 25%. That said, it seems graphical performance doesn't benefit quite as much from the Note 9's improved thermal management, because when I ran the test one more time, both phones posted nearly equivalent marks for the Note 9 and the S9 Plus, roughly. He goes on to say that he does wish Samsung had done something to change up their design. Aside from a selection of new colors, including ocean blue and lavender purple, the main difference between the Note 9 and last year's model is almost an imperceptible increase in heft. Physically, the Note 9's 12-megapixel dual-reel cameras are more or less unchanged, and he goes on to explain a little bit more about the phone. Here are a couple more photos. He actually took a couple photos with the camera and compared them. Well, if you want all of that, I'll have that up on the show notes for you. So that covers that news. Moving on, over at Mashable, like Helen Beck, author over there, is saying that the World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth feels wonderfully like an older WoW. In the article, he says, with its 7th expansion, World of Warcraft not only went back to its Horde versus Alliance roots, it brought back almost everything back down to Earth for the very first time in a long time. What a great decision. Battle for Azeroth so far seems like the perfect adventure for the 14-year-old game. He's put nearly a dozen hours into new expansions since it launched Monday night, and it's making him realize just how much WoW needed to take a breather from all the world-threatening spacefaring action it's been dishing out for the years. Me personally, I played World of Warcraft way back when, and it was always a time-honored classic battle between Horde and Alliance, and I had characters on both sides, and yep, we went at it and had a great old time. And then this weird new dynamic of like another third party came in, and then aliens came in, and then this weird time warp realm change came in. So it's a great change of pace from what I can tell so far. I haven't played the game myself, but if you have in the chat, hey, let us know if you're liking Battle for Azeroth, or you don't like it and you want your money back. Continuing on, that's not to say that Battle for Azeroth is boring, far from it, it's just not over the top like the last two expansions. The leveling, the scale, your character's role, and everything that's happening, it's also much more grounded than it had been since players traveled through time in Warlords of Draenor, and then became the most powerful characters to ever exist while fighting back against the universe's biggest threat in the Legion. In Battle for Azeroth, players go back to being adventurers rather than gods that other legendary characters follow regularly. Well, you still feel important, of course, just not like the most important orc, night elf, dwarf, or troll in the world. Before, the feeling I get from Battle for Azeroth reminds me of the same feeling I get when I played WoW before any expansions came out, and while leveling up to the original level cap of 60, which is now halfway to maximum, by the way. Two new islands Xandalar and Cold Heroes have that lived-in feeling that the original continents have. Storylines on the new islands are mostly about you assisting the people that are already there, so it doesn't feel like the developers are really trying to make you the hottest thing in town. Instead of facing threats from outside Azeroth, you're dealing with what's going on right here on the islands. Not only does Battle for Azeroth succeed in grounding players that just recently wielded the most powerful weapons ever and drove back an army of demonic aliens, it succeeds in setting a theme that nods back to WoW's roots with more natural environments. In recent years, players have spent a lot of time on fantasy-heavy lands, including alien planets with lots of spiky and rocky zones. The best way to describe the six new zones of Battle for Azeroth is earthy. I haven't quite reached all of them in my time with the expansion, but after spending time in Zuldazar, Tyrgard Sound, and Voldun, this expansion feels like an extension of old Azeroth. There are still astounding spectacles throughout, but you're not punched in the face with spectacles and big new ideas at every turn. A little more comfortable, understated, which helps those standout moments really stand out. I'm excited to see what the expansion does, where it takes us, but it's not something I've felt about all the expansions thus far, that's for sure. So, that is the news trending of the day. Hey, if I missed out on any news that you want to make sure I cover or talk about, hey, shoot me a message on Twitter, @TechNewsGadget, and I'm going to make sure Octavius here lets me know, which you will, right? Okay, good, he's happy now. He's happy. We're back to being happy. And then then I'll make sure to cover that for you. I think that covers all of the news for today. Thanks so much for joining us for the show. Right after this podcast episode ends, we'll be playing some games. So for those of you listening to the podcast, like I said, you're totally mixing out. Head on over to mixer.com/technewsgadget and join in the fun of the community, chatting with us and watching a live video. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.